Greetings and welcome to the Audio Tidbits Podcast Network. We hope you enjoy the show.
Thank you for choosing to join me for this episode of How to Matter, where to matter makes a difference, and to make a difference matters. In this section of Negotiations 101, I focus on players who drive us up the wall by overvaluing the points of agreement. They act as if the things that we have already agreed to are sufficient for a deal, even though there are still some remaining issues. In my experience, this happens at the point where they have gotten all or virtually all of what they wanted, and I have not yet gotten all of the things or virtually all of the things I wanted. Their idea is that if they've gotten almost everything they wanted, then it is definitely a good time to bring the negotiations to an end. The last few things I want are simply minor, trivial, not worth worrying ourselves about. Of course, our narrator has some thoughts for us about this.
Players overvalue those points on which they and the other party might agree. Watch how the boss tries to use this technique on Brian. Brian makes the same pitch. Instead of responding to the creative freedom issue, his boss says, "I respect and appreciate your sense of loyalty to the company and value your dedication over the years. There is a glitch or two, but I can and will give you almost everything you want. We have worked together long enough, we think alike. Anytime we agree on 95% of the issues, a contract is easy." Brian's boss then lists the areas of agreement and says, "It looks to me like we have a contract. Isn't that the way you see it?"
Early in my career, I was the director of a mental health center. We needed new facilities due to the inadequacy of the facilities we had. I was working with a contractor to build a new office building so that we would have a better place for our practice. As part of the negotiations, I had given the contractor a list of requirements. That list included a play therapy room for both young children and teenagers. There were certain things that needed to be in the room, including a bumper pool table, a sandbox, and some different kinds of things. When I went over the final contract before signing it, I realized that the space allocated for the playroom was not adequate for the equipment we wanted. Specifically, we could not have both a sandbox and a bumper pool table. The question then is this: since the building was almost perfect for our purposes, could I compromise on the play therapy space? Would I let a really good deal, and it was in fact a good deal, go down the tube over a bumper pool table? Are the few remaining issues sufficient to let the negotiation rise or fall based on those issues? In the case of the bumper pool table, the answer was yes. Either we got the play therapy space we needed, or the deal was off. You'll recall earlier I said that in negotiations, there always has to be some terms, some conditions under which you're willing to walk. In this particular situation, the bumper pool table was one of those issues. Let's see how Brian did with his negotiation.
"Not this time, boss. Brian will not be taken in with that old ploy. The game is to give the impression that all that remains are a few loose ends." Brian says, "I wish I could set aside the creative freedom issue, but it is too important to brush aside. It may be the only thing we do need to talk about." The boss tries to make it seem like they have a deal, but Brian knows that he needs to press on what he has not yet gotten. Acknowledging too much convergence, points of agreement, is a quick way to lose out, as Brian knows. He is not someone who can be seduced so easily.
In this negotiation, Brian is certainly not taken in by the bosses. We agree on most everything, Gambit. So, how does Brian's boss deal with being called on the issue? First, he lets us know that it really was a gambit, since it's not a point at which he's willing to walk. It's not someplace he wants to go in terms of holding fast to his strategy. It is, nonetheless, pretty interesting how Brian's boss chose to deal with the apparent impasse. Let's see how that worked.
The boss tries again, making everything dependent on everything else. This means the negotiation starts afresh. The boss says, "I would have liked to work some of these things out first and then deal with others later. We can go with your approach, though, if you are most comfortable with it. I can give you most, not 95% anymore, of what you want. Working this out with you is important to me. Also, I can give you any single item under certain conditions. Let's talk about each item and about what will be important conditions. Which item do you want to start with?"
The boss's new strategy may seem pretty innocuous, but when we look at it more carefully, it is indeed startling. Does he set aside those agreements that they have already made? Are the things that they already agree on off the table now that they have an agreement about those things? Definitely not. Nor does he choose to focus on the remaining issue or the remaining issues. What does he do? He literally reframes the negotiation, reframes it in a way that serves as if they had not negotiated at all. Have you heard the expression, back to the drawing boards? Well, Brian's boss went back to whatever came before the drawing boards. He chooses to proceed as if the negotiation had just started. If Brian fails to call the boss on the gambit, they may be negotiating forever. As we see, we have two drive-us-up-the-wall negotiators operating at the same time. It is, I think, what we might think of as the perfect storm. I hope you found this episode of How to Matter helpful as you pursue making a difference with people who make a difference to you. I'm Dr. Gary Crow. My website is howtomatter.net. I hope we have a chance to visit again soon.